Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Mini Break, your daily podcast for the biggest storylines, results, and controversies from the tennis world. Today is Thursday, February 27th. We've said it all week, folks. This is one of those times when you're a tennis fan, you've got an action-packed schedule given to you from the tennis world. Two ATP 500 events, a 250 as well. The women in Doha, top 10 players still in action there, heading into championship weekend. The women are also in Acapulco. You've got two challenges in Calgary and Columbus, college tennis sprinkled throughout the week and weekend as well. What a fun time to be a tennis fan. And of course, here at the Mini Break, our job to break down those biggest storylines, results, and controversies to make following our beloved sport just a little bit easier. The reason we're able to do that, due to our friends at Diadem Sports. We say it all the time, Diadem on the forefront of all innovations happening right now in the tennis world. They're helping tennis players elevate their game by designing the most innovative performance tennis gear on the planet. Look, it's developed with your performance in mind. Each of their rackets carefully crafted for a specific type of playing style. Whether your game commands power or explosiveness, precision and control, they'll have the best option to help you take your game to the next level. And as a way to get you listeners, make it even easier for you, use our promo code CR50. You can get 50% off of their gear, of everything in that they can offer, strings, rackets, you name it. They've even got, you know, beyond the Nova 100, the Elevate 98, beyond their Solstice Power strings. They've got premier balls. And look, finding tennis balls is not easy. You go to a Walmart sometimes, you're like, oh, perfect, I can just pick up a can. You open the can, turns out those balls have been sitting on that Walmart shelf for a year and a half, and they're dead. So just trust all of your tennis needs to Diadem Sports, and they will deliver. And of course, use our promo code CR50. And for you Cracked Rackets listeners out there, go listen to our Cracked Interviews podcast with Diadem co-founder AJ Bartlett. That should be released today on the Cracked Interviews platform. And he gets into all of the thinking behind what's going on at Diadem. I think it's a really interesting podcast that all of you fans, especially those of you that are still playing tennis, will enjoy, because he talks about why having the right racket, having the right strings, all of those things are so important in producing your best tennis. So thank you to, of course, to our friends at Diadem Sports. You can go to diademsports.com and again, the promo code CR50. That being said, I want to start in Acapulco, and that's the reason I've had to do these podcasts solo all week. The play there doesn't really start until 5 p.m. on the East Coast. And in fact, that's when their matches are slated to start today, at least for the men's side. And for the women, they play in the morning. But because you have tennis there throughout the day, we don't want to record these too early and miss some of the big matches. I think it was midnight last night by the time Nadal Kecmanovic went on. And it was frisky from the get-go. You know, that first game went to deuce, and it was like, okay, maybe this is going to be a battle. Now, of course, Nadal ended up taking it 6-2, 7-5. And I suppose that's how we can get into Acapulco here and start with that match, because that first game, Kecmanovic pushed Nadal, I think, to like 3-4 deuces. And Mimir Kecmanovic is a former world junior number one. He's a guy who I think made the semis last year of the next gen finals. You look at where he's at in the live rankings right now. Kecmanovic, he's sitting pretty. He's inside the top 50 at a career high, number 47 for the 47-year-old. And look, he's that sort of, I mentioned it earlier in the week, but he's got that IMG ball machine quality about him where he's been sitting behind a baseline for 15 years and just slapping forehands, slapping backhands. He's so comfortable with it. Everything is so compact. He moves really well. He's just a really solid high floor player, and he pushed Nadal, especially in that second set. Look, Kecmanovic did a lot of things right when you look at the stats in this match. He made 54% of his first serves, which isn't great. Won 54% of those points, 46% on the second serve for Nadal. The big thing Kecmanovic did well was attack the Nadal second serve. mistakes or try and play as aggressively as he could. He holds Nadal to 12 of 27, a 44% on those second serve points. But for Rafa, I mean, when the serve plus one is rolling, I don't know what you can do. And, you know, the serve and the forehand for Rafa, especially the first serve, were looking great. And when he can take the aggressive stance in the point, as we've seen over the past 15 years, good luck beating Rafa Nadal. He goes 26 of 32 on first serve points, only faced three break points all match. Now, Kecmanovic did break him twice, and that's a credit again to Kecmanovic for being aggressive when possible. It was a really good performance from the young, I believe, Serbian player, but ultimately Nadal, he's looked really good this week, folks, and no Federer in Indian Wells. It's a slow those hard courts play essentially like clay. They're just so slow. That favors Rafa. It's going to be really fun. And I know Djokovic, I don't think, has lost in 2020. And, of course, Djokovic is the favorite entering any whenever he shows this sort of level and whenever it's a hard court event. Even if he hasn't, he's still probably going to enter as the favorite. But Rafa's looked really good. And, I mean, these are two guys who can – I don't know how they still do it. But just Rafa is fantastic performance for him. 6-2, 7-5 to move on. Unintentional start with Rafa there because it was a good match. It was not our result of the day. On the men's side, the biggest upset has to go to Tommy Paul, who the young American continues his stellar start. I think I read a tweet somewhere, he got his first Grand Slam wins. He got his first ATP semifinal already this season. Now here, he knocks off the number two seed, Alex Zverev, 6-3, 6-4 for Tommy Paul. The win gets him inside the top 60 for the first time in his career, the 22-year-old American up to number 57. And look, this was one of those days where the second serve just, it wasn't there for Alex Zverev. 9 double faults. He was 11 of 27 on second serve points. He was only making 54% of his first serves. Now, when he was able to do that and play the sort of, aggressive baseline tennis Alex Zverev's capable of, 27 of 32 on those first serve points. But for Tommy Paul, he just did all of the little things right. 65% of his first serves go in. He wins 76% of those points. 54% of his second serve points faced and saved all four break points he faced on the day for him. He created 8 break chances for himself, got the 2 breaks he needed, won each set to get the job done. He controlled serve. I mean, this was just Tommy Paul. I feel like we've been on that bandwagon here at Crack Rackets from the get-go, so since 2017, and we've spoken about him a lot, but I'd said it for Miomir Kecmanovic, high floor. Everything I said about Miomir, you could apply to Tommy Paul as well, plus a little flash. I mean, there's no doubt he is an upper-tier athlete on tour. I just move so well and can be so explosive off of both wings. We've all seen him just crank forehands down the line, inside out, move around that ball, go inside in with the forehand when he wants. He's comfortable moving forward. The highlight yesterday, he got a slice, drew a slice from Zverev of a poor drop shot, and he gets there with the backhand, hits this ridiculous short angle off the court. But, I mean, for Tommy Paul, it's his patterns. So frequently last night, serve out wide on the deuce side, open up a plus one forehand on the ad side. I mean, his kick serve, it's sneaky. Sneaky effective. That ball gets out there outside the alley before you know, and Zverev has the sort of length where, into that back, and you'd think he'd still be able to reach it and do something with that ball. But no, Tommy was able to take the aggressive stance. He picked on the Zverev forehand. He's one of those few guys who, you're never going to say he can hang with Zverev backhand to backhand. If they could only hit backhands during the match, you probably still favor Zverev. But he held his own, certainly. He wasn't overwhelmed by the power of that backhand side. He just wasn't overwhelmed by the moment at all. He's so confident, clearly, and it's going to be a really fun matchup for Tommy Paul tomorrow in the quarterfinals, as I believe he is taking on John Isner in an All-American. I think there are 3 Americans in that bottom 4 section, in those quarterfinal sections. So really good result for Tommy Paul, who continues to look better and better. And we always said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. If he can just, if I use an if there, of course, but I should say when he's healthy, this is the level we've seen from him the past, I'm going to go ahead and say 12 months, ever since that stretch of challengers when he got that French Open wild card after the results he had there, and just has kind of ridden that momentum, ridden the wave. West stuff gives me a thumbs up in the background. He's ridden that wave all the way to now the ATP top 60 where he belongs. And, you know, it's a time right now, if you're going to be an American tennis player, particularly on the men's side, you want to be born in 1997, because it's not just Tommy Paul. Taylor Fritz last night, 6-4, 6-1 win over Hugo Humberto. It's a really solid serving performance for Fritz, I thought, more than anything else. I think Fritz matches up really well with lefties every time he plays them. Just with his backhand, how solid he is off of both wings, his length as well. You know, Humberto's the lefty. He wants to play big to the backhand, slice down the tee with that first serve, use his forehand to attack players' backhand wings on the ad side. Excuse me. That slice out wide to get them stretched. But Fritz absorbed it all, and he was happy to go Humberto forehand to his backhand. It allowed him to open up the backhand down the line. And the reason I thought this was a good matchup is because, sure, if you can hit hard enough, get Taylor Fritz extended, you expose his athleticism. But Taylor Fritz was fine going down the line, and Humberto's not a crazy mover. And so Fritz was able to draw a lot of backhand slice responses from Humberto, and you just can't give Taylor Fritz time because he's too good from the baseline. That serve last night looked as good as it ever did. I mean, he was going big T, big wide, big kick. He can do it all when that serve is rolling. And, you know, again, another great performance from Taylor Fritz to advance to the quarterfinals, where he's going to play Kyle Edmund, who had an upset on the day on paper over number 4 seed Felix Auger-Aliassime, 6-4, 6-4. But you looked at the gambling markets beforehand, and Edmund was the favorite. I think Felix has played now 15 matches in the first two. Over this past month. And if you read my Cracked Rackets article previewing this week's events, you might have read that I said I didn't think Felix Auger-Aliassime was going to get by the round of 16, because I thought he was going to get upset because he's played so many matches over this stretch of time. He made back-to-back finals indoors the 2 weeks prior to this week in Acapulco. And Kyle Edmund won in the New York Open, and now with his win here over Felix, he's on a 7-match win streak. It was a really good performance for Edmund, who seems to have found confidence again in that serve forehand combo. I mean, his backhand's gotten a lot better, but that's what his game is all about. He's confident moving forward as well, and just did a really good job dictating against Felix, who was clearly tired. I mean, no denying that. You could tell just he played so many, there's so many matches, so much tennis on his body. But a really good performance for Edmund to get to the quarterfinals. And now for Kyle Edmund, who was in that Tiafoe range of being worried about falling out of the top, you know, 80, certainly. He's gotten himself with the New York Open title with this result all the way back up to number 44, which isn't, you know, that's, first of all, you're making a living, that's fine. But it's not his goal. I mean, his career high is number 14, and obviously that's a long way from that. But he's in that Masters range. He's going to get into every tournament that he signs up for. And for Kyle Edmund, he's 25 years old, that he's not going to have to play qualies probably at Indian Wells or Miami, that he's not going to have to play as many challenger events as a Tiafoe, that he can play 250s and 500s and feel pretty confident he's going to get in. That's really good news for Kyle Edmund as we head into probably his worst surface of the clay, but at least he's going to get chances to compete at the ATP 250 or above level. So that's really good for him. I mentioned John Isner. He was a winner over Marcos Giron, 6-3, 7-6. If you don't know what an Isner-Giron match looks like, watching these past couple of years. In terms of other top seeds, Stan Wawrinka, the nightcap, 4-4, in an interesting match over Pedro Martinez. Wawrinka was up an early break. Martinez managed to race back in that first set. It was a really fun match, but in terms of the biggest comeback of the day, probably Grigor Dimitrov. He loses that first set to Adrian Mannarino, 7-6, wins the second 6-2, races out to a 4-1 double break lead in the third. Mannarino comes all the way back, 6-5 up, plays a long deuce game with Grigor Dimitrov. Dimitrov serving 5-6. But then it was all Dimitrov in the breaker, 7-6, 7-2 in that third set to advance to the quarterfinals. The last winner, Sunwoo Kwon. Again, the young Korean, stellar from the baseline, stocky guy. I'm trying to think of a guy who he's just a big baseliner. He really is, 6'4". I mean, not a big baseliner, just really solid. better moving version of Fritz, but solid off of both wings, wants to attack from that baseline, take balls early. Just he's a really nice, really impressive talent. And for Kwon, you look at where he's at the live rankings, I think now this is what, his third or fourth straight quarterfinal at the ATP level. He's up to a career high number 69 as well, and the 22-year-old young Korean player certainly deserves that sort of ranking given the run he's been on to start his 2020 season. So really fun set of matches yesterday from the men in Acapulco. Thankfully, Acapulco, it's a two-pronged event. You've got the men in at night. You've got the women in the morning. Let's focus on the women now because there were some notable results, and there were a couple of All-American. There was an All-American scrap I want to talk about first. That was Christina McHale, who knocked out Caroline Dalahide, who we got the chance to see at the Kentucky Open when we were there. 5-7, 6-4, 6-3 for Dalahide. Having seen her so often, you know, she's still the 22-year-old, I believe Dalahide is 22, 21-year-old American at number 130 right now in the live rankings. I mean, look, she's just a powerful tennis player. Big serve, big forehand, big backhand. It's why she's moved into the top 40 of the WTA doubles rankings this early in her career already. And, you know, we can, you know, whether the Olympics are going to happen or not, that's a debate for another time, not a tennis-centric podcast. But Caroline Dalahide's put herself in position to qualify for these Olympics potentially as one of the representatives of America in doubles. But in singles, it's clear she's got the variety, just isn't quite there yet in terms of how she really good at offense, just not the best at playing defense yet. McHale did such a good job extending this match, making it physical. A lot of break point chances for both of these players. McHale, 10 of 13 in terms of saving break points. Dalahide, 7 of 12. Do the math at home, folks. McHale, 5 breaks of serve. Caroline Dalahide, only 3 in the end. That was good enough to get the job done. Total points, this was an either or. 108 for McHale, 101 for Dalahide. I thought for McHale in particular, she was just more effective on serve. I mean, made 67% of her first serve, 62% of those first serve points she won. She won 57% of her second serve. And she did a really good job going after the Dalahide second serve. Dalahide only 21 of 43 on those points, 49% conversion rate. McHale was able to be the more aggressive. And if you can get Caroline Dalahide on her back foot at this point of her career, as good as she looks on offense, clearly still some work to be done on her defensive skills. The exact opposite of that is Katie Valinets, who I affectionately refer to as Katie Baseline, because you're just not going to see her at the net very often volleying. She was up a set and a break on Renata Zarazura of Mexico, who knocked out Sloane Stephens in round one. Katie Valinets took that first 6-4, I think was up 5-3 at one point in the second set, or maybe it was 4-2 in that second set. I mean, she just doesn't miss from the baseline. Katie Valinets, such an impressive young talent, the 18-year-old, already top 400. But Zarazura, I mean, she showed off her physicality, and Valinets fell apart at the end, particularly you could tell just the nerves, the second serves. And I say this respectfully, she's 18 years old. I mean, there's growing pains in any young professional's career, but no aces for Valinets, 17 double faults, and she was 11 of 32 on second serve points. Some of these serves were bouncing before they hit the net. And I mean, for Katie Valinets, though, you have to take the positives. She was 5 minutes away, maybe 15 minutes away from winning this match. I mean, she created 14 break chances for herself against Zarazua, who, by the way, you know, Zarazua is not exactly this old, grizzled veteran. Zarazua, you look at where she's at right now, number 217 in the live rankings with the win. She's 22 years old. So this was not exactly a battle between veterans, but in the end, Zarazua's experience wore out. I still think for Katie Valinets, she's got the baseline game. She's got the fundamentals to have a really impressive season and just a really impressive stretch of play in her. I mean, top 100 certainly, with just her fundamentals as she continues to grow and, you know, mature both physically and mentally. So that was her, that was the big American results, I shall say, in terms of young players. Layla Fernandez, the incredibly talented young Canadian player, another win for her. This time it's 6-3, 6-love over Nao Hibino. I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but that's another thing I predicted in the article early this week. So, folks, you're going to want to read those primers moving forward. That was the big results there. You look elsewhere throughout the day earlier. Oh, we did have, let's see, any upsets on the day? Not too many upsets. We had Shi Yu Wang continuing her form. She knocked off the 2 seed in the first round. Here she knocks off Sarah Rani, 6-1 in the third. Potapova, straight sets over Maria. Zidanczyk, straight sets over Yuvan. Heather Watson, the number 7 seed, 7-6, 6-2 over Bondarenko. And then we had Zhu, the number 6 seed. 7-6, 7-5 over Bolter to advance to the quarterfinals. It's going to be a really fun quarterfinal pack day of action in Acapulco. You look at it, play starts at 5 p.m. for both the men and the women tonight. Isner Paul, Fritz Edman, Wawrinka Dimitrov, Nadal Kwan, all interesting for many different reasons. And then for the women, Zhu Wang, Watson Mikhail, Zarazur, Zidanczyk, Potapova, Layla Fernandez, the nightcap. So it's going to be a really fun day in Acapulco, and normally that would be enough, but...
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Again, we're spoiled this week, folks. We have a couple of other great events going on. Let's flip gears to Doha for the women, because, you know, that's the most, given that they're in Doha, I think by the time you are listening to this, we may have already had some of their quarterfinal action complete. But you look at where how they got there yesterday. Really fun set of matches. I mean, let's start with probably the biggest upset, although if you look at, maybe I'll have to send the text. Max Rothman and I were talking about this match beforehand. Ons Jabeur, who has been so good to start her season in 2020. I mean, I think she made the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. I know she has continued. She's like number 10 or 9 right now in the race to Shenzhen, the year-end finals on the WTA side. She continued her stellar form, 6-4, 3-6, 6-3 over Pliskova. And look, she's from Tunisia, and the way these crowds in Doha throughout the Middle East and just in Dubai last week as well, the way they've responded to her, it's been so special. And I think she's the highest-ranked Tunisian player, highest-ranked player from the Middle East now in history. She continues to pile up milestones, and it's because she plays big. She's playing aggressive. And more importantly, if you're going to play that style of play, you have to be confident. You have to go for your shots when they're there. They were there for Pliskova, for Jabeur against Pliskova, and she just went from now. Pliskova, you know, I know she lost this match, and it's another exit for her in a round she probably didn't expect. But she played really well here. I mean, she did her best to extend Jabeur to the outer third. She did a really good job on her serve as well. But, I mean, when it's rolling, it's rolling. And for Ons Jabeur right now, it is really rolling. So a great result for her to advance to the quarterfinals. Belinda Bencic, the number 4 seed, maybe her first straight set uncomplicated win of the year. She knocked off Putintseva, 4-3. Sabalenka, second straight win in the second week in a row over Sakkari, 3-0. This time, Zhang knocked off Kiki Bertens, the number 7 seed, 3-6, 6-3, 6-4. And Petra Kvitova survives. Tricky match versus Yelena Ostapenko. That was some big hitting, folks. And I do want to emphasize one of my favorite features. I would say the WTA in particular does such a better job than the ATP in terms of the way they produce highlights on YouTube. I mean, you can find individual match highlights, and they're all usually 7-8 minutes long of the best shots of all of these matches. And, you know, you just can't find that on the ATP side. So shout out to the WTA and their media team, because they do such a phenomenal job with highlights here at Kvitova. I mean, you can go see all of these matches, folks, and you really should. But Kvitova advances, and it's a really fun quarterfinal slate. Sabalenka, Zhang, Kuznetsova, who advanced with a walkover over Amanda Nisimova, who I believe was struggling with flu-like symptoms. Kuznetsova, Bencic, that's going to be fun. Jabeur, Kvitova, and then, of course, Ashley Barty, who got the walkover over Rebekenna. She's going to take on Australian Open finalist Garbine Muguruza. So that should be a really fun match, a really fun slate of quarterfinal action. And again, if you want to watch all of those matches, even if you're missing them or they're taking place while you're at work, the place to go, YouTube, just type in WTA in your search bar. You'll be able to find all of them. So that's what's going on in Doha, in Dubai. Again, another ATP 500 event there for the men this week. Just real quickly to run through those results, excuse me, because really no upsets on the day, only one three-set match even. In terms of the seeds who went down, Benoit Paire, although after the drama he had in his last match against Marin Cilic, I don't think this should surprise anyone. Richard Gasquet, 6-4, 6-4 win over Paire there, the only three-setter on the day. Dan Evans, who fought off a match point to knock off Pierre Huysbert, who for the second straight week loses just a crushing third set breaker, 9-7, 7-6, 7-6 third set, 9-7 in that breaker. For Dan Evans, we talked about him yesterday, so just, again, the variety he's showing right now. He just is one of those guys, he's not just bludgeoning the ball through the court, he's not just going big serve, big forehand. It's the backhand slice, it's the angles, it's the down the lines when you least expect it. And with this win, the 29-year-old, new career high, number 27, and he has certainly looked the part this early in 2020, but even beyond that, I mean, what a comeback for him. And, you know, we've made light of Dan Evans before on this podcast. You know, he tested positive, I think it was for cocaine, off-court thing. He said it happened at a party, whatever. Whether that's the case behind it or not, I mean, you just can't deny Dan Evans is one phenomenal tennis talent, and I'm really glad he's got to stay healthy throughout his comeback, because I mean, the level he's displayed, he deserves to be back in the top 30. So credit to him, because that's the sort of error off the court, you know, the sort of mistake people make in their personal lives that you certainly deserve the chance to bounce back from. And it's really great to see Dan Evans bouncing back with the level he's shown thus far this year. In terms of the seeds, the other non-seeded match, Jan-Lennard Struff rides his momentum, RBA in round one, he knocks off here 6-1, 6-love over Nicolas Basilashvili. In terms of the seeds, all straight set winners. Djokovic, 3-1 over Cole Schreiber. Tsitsipas, a tricky 7-6, 6-4 win over Sasha Bublik. Second week in a row, he played Bublik. And if you play a big server, a big talent, someone who plays with as much variety as Bublik, to beat him twice in a row, that's really good. It shows Stefanos Tsitsipas continues to mature throughout his ATP career. Monfils, 1-2 over Uchiyama. Andre Rublev, tricky first set, 7-6, but then 6-love second over Filip Krajinovic. And Karen Khachanov, or of course Karen Khachanov, first quarterfinal, I believe, of the year for him, 6-3, 6-4 over Denis Novak. In terms of those Dubai quarterfinals, and they'll be your early morning matches, Dan Evans and Andre Rublev have already played. No spoilers here in case you haven't seen that. Tsitsipas and Struff have already played as well. Djokovic in the midst of his match with Karen Khachanov as I'm recording this, and then the nightcap, the Battle of the Frenchmen, Gael Monfils, Richard Gasquet. So really fun play again throughout the day. Hip hip hooray, more tennis for us to watch. And that will certainly be on the top of the list.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Last ATP event on ATP Santiago, front half of the round of 16, already completed there. No big, I suppose, Renzo Olivo's 5-7, 7-6, 7-6 win over Pablo Cuevas is considered an upset by ranking, but Olivo, the 27-year-old Argentinian, up to 246 with this win in the live rankings, 50 spot jump for him this week. That's always monumental. You know, now he's in position, excuse me, to get into French Open qualifying. You know, three set win there, 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 10-8 in that third set breaker for Olivo. Casper Ruud continues to look great on the dirt. He knocks off Alejandro Tabilo, 6-4, 7-5. Hugo Delian, 6-3, 7-6 over Tomas Barrios Vera. And then Federico Delbonis, 7-6, 6-3 over Salvatore Caruso. Today, back half. This is the only tournament without quarterfinals. It's the back half of the round of 16. Thiago Monteiro going to take on Carbe Espana. Thiago Sabath-Vild versus Juan Ignacio Lindero. That's going to be a really fun match between the young Brazilian and the Argentinian. Juan Pablo Varillas taking on the number 3 seed Albert Ramos Vinolas. And then the sneaky nightcap, the one that you think you're going to stay up for all of the action in Acapulco, but this is the one you should be watching, folks. Next gen battle, Christian Garin, who is undefeated on the dirt thus far in 2020, two titles to his name. He's going to get a really frisky test with the young Spaniard Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, who's had so much success on the dirt already in his young career on the challenger level. So really fun action just set throughout the day. If that sort of pro action isn't good enough for you, you can always, of course, go check out the challengers. It's round of 16 day there. The big result yesterday in Calgary, Kasper Zouk, the young Polish player knocking out Vasek Pospisil 6-4, 4-6, 6-4. Indoors, given what Pospisil had been doing at the ATP level. That's surprising, to say the least. But in terms of the college guys, hey, Alex Rybakov, got to give him a shout out. Friend of the program, 7-6, 6-7, 7-6 win for him over Go Seda, the number 2 seed of Japan. I believe it's the highest ranked win of Rybakov's career. He's going to play now Gonçalo Oliveira of Portugal, so that will be a very fun match. In terms of the other college guys, two TCU Horned Frogs, go Frogs, at the bottom. Nick Chappell taking on Liam Brody, so potential for an all-frog quarterfinal. You know if that happens to expect a Roditi tweet. Other college guys in action there. Cressy, Max Cressy, who winner last week indoors, he's going to take on Aziz Dugas, the former Florida State player. Arthur Rinderneck, the Texas A&M standout who made the finals last week, knocks out Virginia's Colin Altamirano. He's now going to play former Baylor Bear Julian Lenz, and then the other college guys up top. Schnurr, the Tar Heel, he's alive. He's going to play Comca Aragoni, the Virginia Cavalier. He's going to play Zouk now. So that's the action in Calgary. In Columbus, you know, we still have college players alive. Kirkheimer of Northwestern, Gomez and Vukic going to play. That's a USC-Illinois battle. Wolf Quiroz, that's another USC-JJ Wolf. I want to be clear, folks. There was a national championship team for USC, and I want you to know Emilio Gomez, the 4 seed this week, is right now ranked in the top 150. Roberto Quiroz ranked in the top, I believe, 250. Those guys played 4 and 5 singles on a national championship team. Just think about that. That's crazy. So great to see the Trojans having continued success. JJ Wolf, obviously the Buckeye, we all know what he did. That's going to be a fun matchup. And then Torpegaard still alive as well in terms of the college players alive at the challenger level. But it's going to be a really fun week of tennis, folks. And if, of course, you have not been keeping track, if you've missed any of the action, be sure to listen to our previous mini breaks from earlier in the week. If you want to know what's going on in the college tennis world, Matt Stachowiak, Chris Haliors, and I recorded our college roundtable yesterday, and as part of that, we always end with a segment giving our top 8 rankings to project who the top 8 seeds would be in our minds if the NCAA tournament started right now. Getting those top 8 seeds so important as the top 8 now host those round of 16 matches. Made that an article. Wanted to put it in written form. That's what I do. I've got more time on my hands. I can write thoughts down. It's very therapeutic. And of course, I get to try some jokes. Some of them hit, some of them definitely won't. But for any of our college tennis fans who listen to these mini breaks, go give that article a read because I think you all will enjoy it. What else do we have coming up this week? Again, I mentioned that cracked interview with AJ Bartlett. Be sure to go check that out as well. And if you missed any of our coverage from the National Indoors, if you missed any of our coverage from the Kentucky Open, you can find all of those interviews either on YouTube if you go and search Cracked Rackets if you want the video format. And I have to tell you, I was looking good during those tournaments. My diet was on point, but you can also listen to them in podcast form on the Cracked interviews as well. I have to ask, we're not giving gear away anymore, but we'd still really appreciate any of you who can like, rate, subscribe, review this podcast, the Cracked Interviews podcast, the Great Shot podcast. A huge shout out, of course, to all of you who have already taken the time to subscribe to our Patreon. We cannot tell you again how much that support means to us, and to any of you who are curious what you're getting involved with if you go sign up on Patreon, you know, video content, early releases, new podcasts and articles that we're trying here at Cracked Rackets. You can have access to all of that if you go and check out that Patreon. Again, we would appreciate any of you who are willing to take the time to do just that. Shout out, of course, to the super producers, Max Fleener and Daniel Westhoff. I see Westhoff rendering some sort of video in the background right now. I know that it's been one of a job for him to render that video, and of course he continues to do that job for us each and every day here at Cracked Rackets. Shout out, again, want to thank our friends at both Diadem Sports and AeroBar who helped make this possible. Diadem, again, that promo code CR50 for 50% off all of your tennis gear needs for AeroBar Cracked 30. Get yourself those AeroBars. That's how I'm able to look like I do on the video. And, you know, I have to say, my figure, I think it works. So again, and thank you to them for all of their continued support. But for our super producers, Max Fligner and Daniel Westhoff, our friends at Diadem Sports and AeroBar, and all of us here at the Tennis Channel Podcast Network and Cracked Rackets, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You know what we say, that's the break. And we'll see you all tomorrow, folks. Thanks, everyone.